The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered him, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. So today Jesus encounters a scholar of the law. Most people don't realize that lawyers have been around forever. A scholar of the law. And he comes up to test Jesus and he asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus tells him all of these things. And the man answers, says, "Yes, I've been doing all these things." So obviously this lawyer was a good man. He had accomplished what was considered a pretty difficult set of commandments. As a religious lawyer, he would have prided himself in his understanding of all of the 613 laws of the Torah. The religious leaders of Jesus' day had inherited a system that had turned obedience to God into a kind of obstacle course, so complicated with so many do's and don'ts that it left the average person on a permanent guilt trip. This approach contradicted what Jesus taught, and confrontation became inevitable with the religious leaders. The lawyers, along with the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and others in religious leadership, were constantly trying to discredit Jesus. There was a motive behind the lawyer's apparently innocent question. So Jesus let him, the expert, speak first. "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" The lawyer knew the answer. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." This was a good answer as far as it went, but you know what people are like, maybe lawyers most of all. We look for any extenuating circumstance that might in some way be an exception to the law. I'll never forget in moral theology classes in the seminary, They were constantly asking questions about a particular law in a certain impossible circumstance, trying to show that the law wouldn't apply. This is what this young man is doing. The lawyer knew that the command to love your neighbor as yourself was virtually impossible to fulfill. So he thought he had found a loophole. "Who is my neighbor?" he asked Jesus. And this is when Jesus gives him this famous parable. Who is my neighbor? Well, the road between Jericho and Jerusalem was a dangerous road. Travel in those days was very dangerous. Anyway, that's why I marvel at the fact that Mary, when she found out that she had conceived by the Holy Spirit, she raced to Judah, which was a good, 50 miles away, maybe 30 miles away. But a woman on foot, that's not a safe thing to do. And there are specific situations that Jesus presents in this parable. The characters he chooses are a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. The priest and Levite were probably busy working at the temple, maybe even on their way to the temple, where the priests were of the Levite tribe, but they were considered the highest class of Levites. There were thousands of other Levites that would do all kinds of things in the temple to help serve the sacrifices that were being made or keep the temple running. But the priest and the Levite were faced with a very difficult choice, because by the law, they were unable to touch or to have anything to do with someone who had been a victim of a robber, particularly if blood was involved. It would render them impure. They would have to go through a purification in order to be able to go back to work at the temple. So they really were following the rule by walking down the other side of the street. It required them to choose either one or the other. And so they were confronted with this question: what is the right choice? Do I follow the law or save a life? Is choosing the law a wrong choice? In Jesus' story, it is the Samaritan outcast who stops to help. Not only does he help, he goes far beyond what most other people would do. He cleans the victim's wounds with his own travel food supplies. Then he bandages them. He likely would have had to tear up some of his own clothing to make the bandages. Next, he puts the injured man on his donkey and takes him to an inn. He takes 2 silver coins, a considerable amount of money in those days, and promises to reimburse the innkeeper for any further expense. This is an exceptional level of assistance, especially for a total stranger and someone who is supposed to be a social enemy. But the Samaritan did not let that stand in the way. With this deceptively simple story, Jesus catches the lawyer on his own hook. He asks him, "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" Jesus has turned the question around. He is not asking, "Which people should I help?" He is saying, to answer the question, you need to put yourself in the place of the man who was beaten and left to die. The better question is, when I need help, who do I want to help me? Don't you hope that perhaps even a Samaritan would be a neighbor to you? It brings to mind two examples in my own memory, which are very, very, this question between observance and practice, very vivid memories. When I was in Fredericksburg, I was involved in helping develop a pretty effective ministry to the homeless population. In fact, at some point, we even reached net zero homelessness in Fredericksburg because this was before COVID, before even all the federal grants kicked in and assisted all these agencies. But we were, over a period of about 10 years, always trying to establish a shelter in Fredericksburg. And every time we would find a possible piece of real estate or a building that would be appropriate, all the neighbors would rise up and they would say, "Not in our neighborhood." So who are their neighbors, right? This is the question. Not in my backyard. No, but we all agree it's necessary, but not here. The second one is my favorite, I think. There was a lady in the parish down there, and she was like the lady that was in the temple all the time praying, you know. And she would sit in the second pew right in the front section there. And I would have to come into church and I would have to work. I might be like scraping wax off of the floor or hauling the candle boxes into the church to change out the candles. There's always a, you know, getting rid of dead flowers. Nobody ever seems to think about getting rid of dead flowers. And so I would come into the church and I would be doing these things as quietly as I could. And she would kneel there in the pew, and every once in a while she would go, shh, shh, shh. And I kept thinking to myself how great it would be, maybe 10 times the value of whatever prayer she was saying, if she would just say, can I help? You know what I mean? It's like so observing the law might have it, but the observance for the sake of the observance, it doesn't make any sense. Who was a good neighbor? The answer is obvious, but the expert of the law did not want to say the word Samaritan. So he said, the one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus challenges him with the call, go and do likewise. In other words, at least act like a Samaritan, right? Remember, the teacher of the law was from a class of people who prided themselves on how carefully they obeyed God. For example, they would not pronounce God's name, considering it too holy to speak. They would even take a ritual bath to ensure purity before writing God's name. Along with the Pharisees, they were fastidious about observing the law in every detail. The lawyer had asked what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus' answer was, in effect, you have to do the impossible. Your love for others needs to extend far beyond what humans alone are capable of doing. Isn't this the central message of so many of Pope Francis' teachings about the nature of the church? Especially in his encyclical Fratelli Tutti, which is also called On Fraternity and Social Friendship, we must be the ones who go out into the byways and peripheries of society and culture and find those who have been pushed to the side, abandoned, judged, and rejected. Maybe someone even we've judged and rejected and left for dead. Our mission is to encounter and to bring healing through our compassionate care for one another. For Pope Francis and Fratelli Tutti, the very act of encounter is transformational. Through encounter, we learn that the existence of each and every individual is deeply tied to that of others. We remember that we were created to love and that we came to know ourselves through our relationship with others. As a result, we must ask ourselves, how am I changed by this act of encounter with my neighbor? How do I know Christ and myself better through encountering others? And finally, what changes in my heart and in my actions must this encounter lead to? Ask Christ to help you discern how to respond to the call to encounter. Ask for the awareness that He is at your side as you engage in the act of encounter. Ask Christ to help you to see Him in the person whom you encounter. It is important to recognize that transformation through encounter goes beyond our own individual transformation. For Pope Francis, the parable shows us how a community can be rebuilt by men and women who identify with the vulnerability of others, who reject the creation of a society of exclusion, and act together instead as neighbors. Through the act of encounter, we strengthen our community. Ultimately, Jesus asks him to go deeper into his heart, beyond faithful observance, to what is authentic to his humanity. In this way alone is he like God. In this way alone are we like God, the ones with mercy.